Oops. As you observe the decorations this morning, you'll notice that they're probably not for us, right? We've so appreciated and enjoyed having the partnership that we've been able to enter into and provide some things for the Ukrainian Baptist Church. And they have been wonderful and wonderfully responsive anytime we have something we need to talk through and that sort of thing. The funny thing is, I came in this morning, I hadn't seen this yet. And I knew, though, that today, September 28th, was going to be a day that they were celebrating harvest. And so that's what this is about. They're celebrating harvest today, and I think it's a great thing. Now, I'm going to share this with you just because I think it's going to happen. over the last several months, the Ukrainian Baptist group has done significant remodeling in what was the original worship space for North Addison. And they have done some painting. They've put nice carpet in. They've redone the platform area. And it looks really nice in there. And a part of their goal in that was to be able to perhaps begin worshiping in there. So today they're going to be in this room as they worship. But as I understand their plan, they plan over the next two Sundays to continue meeting at their 1 o'clock time in the other building. So the first two Sundays of October, they'll be meeting in the other building at 1 o'clock. That's a test. They want to find out if they fit, okay? Because they actually have a few more people attending than we do. If you look at the numbers, it depends on the day. I mean, they might be within just a few, up to 10. But sometimes they have as many as 30 more than we have who are gathering together in their worship time. Now, that said, they need to find out if they fit. If they fit, we've agreed that it would not be too difficult for us for them to begin their time at 11 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock. Now, just a little bit of the rationale there. We have a few less people during that later hour than we do in the morning and the 9 o'clock time. And so really probably the biggest thing that we might notice is the parking lot, okay? We believe that it'll probably be something that we can work through quite easily. And by the way, you'll be here first, so you get your spots. if you're inclined to be selfish, all right? I wanted to share that information with you because over the coming weeks, things are going to be a little bit different. And a little bit different next week and much more different the following weeks if they determine that they can choose to meet there on a pretty regular basis on the other building. So just wanted you to be mindful of that and to be in prayer. And so, and pray for this body also in these coming weeks as we are sharing together. Two things that I want to ask you to pray about. And this was in your bulletins last week, but we didn't say anything. And so I felt I needed to say something today. And it is the nomination form for shepherds. And members of North Addison Baptist Church, every year at this time, we are asking you to make nominations of qualified men who can serve as shepherds. Now, the qualifications are listed there, the basic qualifications. Member of the church for at least 18 months, be over the age of 21, be considered by the church to be striving to meet the biblical qualifications of an elder or an overseer. And by the way, what that really means is you need to be walking with Jesus, okay? And seeking to be an example of Christ. Then be publicly willing to work with the pastoral staff and other shepherds to lead the church in a manner acceptable to God and man and consistent with the principles that are taught in Scripture. So that's important. The other information is there that we hope to receive from you nominations as you may be a member here and want to nominate someone to serve. On the back side, well, on the front side in two different places, it tells you that we would like to elect up to four new shepherds for this term. We really must elect two, all right? Because as you look on the back side of that sheet, if you have it, our current shepherds, we have two whose agreed upon terms are they're going to cycle off of the group this year. And so two are those. One has moved away and another has stepped away. All right. And so that has, and as you have been hearing, I plan to retire, which means that five of the eight current shepherds will no longer be serving. And that means that there will be three who are left. Those include Mark Danner, Brandon Valentine, and Alan Walgren. Their terms will conclude at the end of 2027 because they were all brand new shepherds, or at least beginning terms as shepherds last year. So that's important for you just to be aware of because we need to elect for the purpose and the work of our church up to four new shepherds and at very minimum two new shepherds because we can't operate without five, all right? So, yes, brother. Well, each individual is allowed to nominate one, okay? As an individual member, you are allowed to nominate one, encouraged to do so. And then if you will do that, we need your name on there so that we know who is nominated, and that will be kept private as among along with the normal processing of that, but we need to know who the nominators are so that we don't get five nominees from one person. That's probably the most logical explanation for that. And so, but we do want to receive those, and you may turn those in. You can tear that off at the bottom there and turn those in to any of the existing shepherds. Or it could be placed in the offering, but fold it up because you probably don't want to make a big scene of who you're nominating. But the best way to do that would be to hand it to one of our existing shepherds, which certainly can include those who are cycling off at this time. So that's enough information probably about that. Any other question? I appreciated that question. Yeah, there are some additional ones of these available. And if you lose yours or didn't pick up a bulletin, please be sure and do that. I know a lot of couples will get just one bulletin, so there are additional copies. The other thing is this. At the close of our service today, I've given up way too much message time, but this is important. At the close of our service today, there is on both sides at the back, we're not going to try to hand them out here, but on both sides at the back, we're going to have someone there to hand off to members a copy of what is, it's titled at the top, Proposed Amendments. The shepherds have worked together on this with the help of one in particular, but we have agreed that there were some places in our bylaws that we were not exactly operating in that way. That's probably the simplest explanation of why we needed to do this at this time. And there are a number of things that could be a part of this rationale, but that's basically it. You know, the way that we operate needs to match our documents. And so our documents need to match the way that we operate. And so you'll have a sheet, it's several pages long, that you're able to receive. The reason you need to receive this today is that we need to make it available in plenty of time before our annual business meeting, which will be the last Sunday of October, which is that the 25th? The last Sunday of October when we have our annual business meeting. And so we need to put this in your hands so that you have an opportunity to read it. Now, I didn't give it to you before church because I don't want you reading it while I'm preaching. So preacher, get on with the business of preaching. As you know, I've been moving through the lessons that we find and the doctrines that we find in the Baptist Faith and Message. And as we move through these things, today we're in particular going to be talking about the fact that Jesus said, I am coming. I am coming back. Now, as we believe that he came, he was born of a virgin, that he came into the world, he lived a perfect and sinless life, and therefore was worthy as a man, but also the Son of God, God in human flesh, he was worthy to perform the sacrificial offering through the giving of his blood, the pouring out of his blood as a sacrifice for our sins, and making it possible that through our coming to him and yielding to him in repentance, that we would receive that forgiveness, that he gave his life, he died, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And all of that we celebrate every year with Christians around the world. And the reality is that that's really not the end of what he said was going to happen, because we've got several things that we have to remember. He said, I'm coming again. And he told his disciples that a number of times, and he explained a number of things that he would be doing. Now, I am not going to be giving a big lesson on eschatology, a study of the end times today. Number one, there's not enough time for that in one message. Number two, I want us to come to at least a clear understanding today that it's important that we affirm and agree and know that he is coming again. Is anybody hearing that for the first time? Jesus is coming back. He not only rose from the dead and appeared to more than 500 people before he ascended back to heaven, he is coming back, and he made a promise to his disciples and to all of us that he would come again. In fact, the very last instruction in the book, in the Bible, as he's revealing these things and speaking to the Apostle John, as the Apostle John is on the Isle of Patmos and receiving this from the Lord, he said in verse 20 of Revelation 22, he who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I want us to begin with that thought as we then move on through three other portions of Scripture. And let me admit right up front, if you're looking in your bulletin at the places where the Scriptures I'll be looking at, it's not 2 Thessalonians. There are not four chapters in 2 Thessalonians. Okay, so if you've already noticed that, good for you. It's 1 Thessalonians, all right? I gave the wrong number when this was being prepared. So it's 1 Thessalonians, and so that'll be the final passage that we look at. But let me ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read there verses 27 through 44. Before we do that, I'll just quote to you from Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, there was one of those things that Jesus said about the things that were coming and what we needed to be doing in the time before he comes. And I think that's one of those things that as we talk about what is it that we should do because Jesus is coming back, we need to do what he told us to do. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, as you wait for the return of Jesus Christ, do what he said to do. All right? Now, that's an oversimplification. I get it. But seek him, walk with him, know him, love him, understand him, trust him, and know and believe in him, and lead others to place their faith also in Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we as the church and as individual Christians need to be doing in our lives and in the course of our walk with him. And so let's look at this matter of what Jesus said about him coming again. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 44, the scripture here says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will gather." Have you seen vultures gathering around the church today? The Church of America has, at large, lost its purpose and lost its focus, and the vultures are gathering. And they're going to seek to destroy everything that even is live and vital. They're going to seek to do that. "Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to another." Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding grain with a handmill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this: if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not left his house to be broken into. This is why you are also to be ready, because a Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Whew. What a passage for us today. Now, I think as you read all of these passages of Scripture, you would understand that I'm hesitant to try to develop a descriptive eschatology around many of these things, because much of the time eschatology is pointing to trying to predict something about what Jesus and when Jesus is coming back. I realize it's not just about that, but oftentimes that's what the conclusions attempt to do. And I think that's one of the most foolish things that Christians can do, because if there's anything that Jesus has told us about what is going on today, it is that we will not know. This isn't the only passage that deals with that. 1 Thessalonians also does. We will not know. We have no idea. I love that it tells us there will be distress, but we have something to look forward to. We have something to hope for. The skies will change. Everything there will be different. And then it says the Son of Man will appear and all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, isn't that how he ascended? In the clouds? And he tells us and reminds us that that's how he's coming back, in the clouds of heaven. Even as he ascended, there will be a time when he will come back. That's why it's important to look to the clouds. I don't agree with all of his theology, but I've enjoyed through the years, really from my college days, I began to listening to Barry McGuire. And Barry McGuire was a rock star before he became a Christian. And then he became a Christian, and he became quite well known among Christian people at that time, and they enjoyed it. And on one of his recordings, I remember he did just a really simple, simple little short song. And he said, "Clouds, I can't keep my eyes off of them clouds in the sky, because I know it won't be long, we'll be gone." And just one of those really simple little things, a little thing. And you know, I remembered it, and I think it's something that all of us need to remember. Because when you're having a rough day, and when you're not sure that God's paying any attention to you, or when you're struggling with marriage or work or other relationships, or just simply life and health and all of the things that go with that, look up. Very rarely in Spokane do we have days where there's not a cloud somewhere. Now, I love those days when it's just blue. I do. But you can often find a cloud. Clouds. I can't keep my eyes off of those clouds in the sky. For I know it won't be long. We'll be gone. And then I think he repeats it and says, I know it won't be long. We'll be home. And you see, the reality is that Jesus is coming again. He is coming soon. There's so many old songs that just come to my mind as I'm even standing here preaching. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. In fact, by the way, I probably need to ask Mark to do this or something, to just have a button that anytime he pushes it, we get a big old trumpet fanfare. Wouldn't that be great? I often think, you know, I should have brought my trumpet and just played it from behind somewhere. But I, you know, that's just one of those weird things. But, you know, the Bible is full of talking about the trumpet and the sounds. And in particular, it uses the trumpet sound for the coming of the Lord. It uses the trumpet sound for the return of our Savior and our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. And it uses the trumpet sound to get our attention. That's really what it's all about. I mean, the trumpet is used, the bugle is used for military purposes to get the attention and to speak out orders, to sound out the orders for the moment. And you see, we want to know and remember that Jesus is coming soon. And so keep your eyes on the clouds of heaven, because he will come with power and great glories, and he'll send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now, this is a point that we want to have confidence about. Because you have put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received him, and you have acknowledged him as your Savior, and you have chosen to live your life for his pleasure and for his glory, you are among the elect. You see, God loves you and he chose you, but you also said, yes, I put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 31, he says, he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And he goes on and he teaches some other things here. In verse 36, he goes on and says that no one knows the day or the hour. We've talked about that. When I was a teenager, there was a song that came out called, it started out, "Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. You see, it has a verse that talks about two men walking up a hill. One disappears, one left standing still. Man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. Because the Lord has come. And one had believed while the other tarried. The other waited and did not put their trust in Christ, did not surrender themselves to him. That's what this passage is talking about. They didn't know, as he talks about Noah, they didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. Then it was too late. Then it was too late. Well, I want us to move on to these other brief portions of Scripture because I think it's important for us to do that. Part of what the Lord Jesus did with his disciples was to teach them that there was something coming beyond what they were going to experience when he would be taken from them. And that was so important for him to do that. And in John chapter 14, we're just going to read the first three verses of that. But Jesus wanted us to be sure of what was coming and that he was not abandoning us, but he was leaving with purpose, okay? And a part of that purpose, I get it, it's more than this too, but a part of that purpose, in order to give affirmation and comfort and strength and understanding to his disciples, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some translations say mansions, all right? Mansion or room, I don't care. If not, I would have told you. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And this leads to that wonderful portion where Jesus tells his disciples, because Thomas says, I'm confused, you know, I'm not sure. But then he says, Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. That's all you need to know. Jesus is the way. I love this passage where he tells them he's going to prepare a place. And this thought came to me. I don't know if I've ever heard it spoken of in this way. It's certainly possible because I'm not ever going to claim to be one who has original thoughts. But I was just kind of thinking through this passage the other day, and I said it to somebody. I don't think it was in this room. But the thought just came to me, you know, Jesus only needed six days to create the universe and all that is in it and to prepare this world for us. How wonderful is this world, right? I think I may have said this Thursday. How wonderful is this world, this place that we live and have a privilege to live in? How wonderful is this place? And he only took 6 days to do that. I can't calculate the number of days now that Jesus has been in heaven and in glory preparing a place for us. Can you imagine? If we think heaven might be dull and boring, get over it. Because if he only needed 6 days to prepare this world for all of us that we love and that we enjoy and that we continue to find magnificence in and that we continue to find the glory of God as we go and study the mountains and look to the oceans and look to the skies and the universe, my friends, how awesome and wonderful is that? But he's taken all of this time and he's still waiting and preparing the eternal dwelling place for you and for me. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. I'm not saying he needs any time, because time is not that important, I don't think. But just to think that if he's going to prepare that wonderful place that he's prepared for us in glory, is going to be magnificent. And he is the way and the truth and the life. Well, let me encourage you now to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because I'd like to read those verses again. There are some similar instructions, thoughts, teachings in this passage as what we saw in the book of Matthew. But in Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 and then moving on through into chapter 5. Verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed. I think the NIV says ignorant. And that's just a word that says unaware, something you don't know about. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have died before you and me, and have also trusted in him. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. There's the trumpet again. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And about the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come, just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness, so that let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. And I want to stop there. You know, this passage is so full of fun things as well. But I love when the Lord tells us that we won't be first if we're still living. But those who have already gone to sleep in the Lord, those who've already died in the Lord, those who are gone and buried, will rise first. Now, the Bible's very clear, we won't know when. But if you want a hint, live close to a cemetery. Julie's sister, Jeannie, lives, her back fence borders a cemetery. I just kind of love that reality. Because whoever's living in that house or any place on any border with a cemetery, they're going to get a little bit of a warning about something going on. Because it may be pretty instant, so you might not get much. I'm not going to predict those things. Because it's, I think, all going to take place pretty quickly. But those who have died in the Lord, those who are already in the presence of Christ in their spirits, they're tombs will be broken open. They will be raised from the dead physically, bodily, and they will go first, and we will be caught up then with them as they ascend to meet the Lord. Man, that's exciting. I just have to say, and the older I get, the more excited I get about it. And And whether my body is buried and decayed and completely disassembled, or whether it has been burned or consumed by the sea, God will find me. And he will assemble, if he needs anything of what was old, I think it's all going to be new. But he's going to assemble me in flesh once again and be bodily raised to live forever with Jesus. And I'll be caught up with him to meet in the sky. And there will be a glorification of all those things at that point. And I will no longer be consumed by the struggles of the flesh, neither illness nor struggle nor sin nor anything else will be a part of my experiences as the Lord comes to claim me and take me to heaven with all of those, with all of you and all of those who've gone before. I'm excited about that. And, you know, if we were to leave this place and never see each other again in this life, we would have the wonderful joy and anticipation of what will take place when Jesus comes again. He said, I am coming soon. And I rejoice in that with you today. Just one more thought from the book of the Revelation. I wanted to begin with that because it is this wonderful statement that Jesus said, yes, I am coming soon. Don't you love the word soon? It's not very specific, is it? And you can use that word and not have any real expectation of when it's going to be. Now, maybe if you say something, yes, soon, to your grandchild, that grandchild is going to say soon means that as soon as he can stand up. You know, but soon is one of those wonderful words that just says, this is my promise. This is my promise, and it will take place, and it will take place soon. I use that word all the time when I talk to my son who's living in Texas. I've got no idea next time I'm going to be in Texas. And I'm not sure I ever expect him to be in Washington again. He just loves it there, and he doesn't plan for traveling. But when I tell him goodbye after we've talked on the phone for a while, I say, well, Daniel, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. I don't know when soon is, but I'll see you soon. And I'm excited that the Lord Jesus said to us, I'll see you soon. Revelation 22, once again, verse 20. He who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And the response of the apostle there, and I'll read it and then you repeat it with me, said, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, yes, I am coming soon. And you said, amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Amen. Father, we've spent these moments together and we've sought to give praise and glory and honor to your name. And Father, we've sought to allow your word just to simply speak for itself in these matters. And indeed, there is so much more to be found and said and spoken and discovered and read. But Lord, above all else, remind us every day that you are coming soon. If we don't know when, we don't know where, how can we know what it looks like except for what you've revealed to us, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who remain will be caught up with them to meet you, Lord Jesus, in the air. some ways we might be thinking, well, wonder who I'm going to see, or I'm looking for so-and-so. But may it be that for all of us, that we will be ready and committed and so excited that you, Lord Jesus, have come, that our eyes will be looking to you, that we will have our eyes fixed upon you. For you are the one who gives us hope and life and an everlasting dwelling place. Thank you, Lord. And we love you and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.